More than 120 years ago, astronomer Percival Lowell started researching Mars. He mapped canals, which he thought, back then, was a sign of intelligent life on the red planet. Since that time, research has come a long way.
We in fact know that water is on Mars. We know that it's predominantly in the ice phase.
This is Jennifer Hanley, and in this ice phase, the water is found underneath the South Polar ice cap. Researcher Mike Sori at Purdue University describes this liquid as a slush or sludge, but if that water is present on the planet, maybe there's a chance life does exist there?
So it wouldn't be a lake that has existed for billions of years that potentially has life in it. We think it would be really this just sort of transient phenomenon.
I'm Alexa Zellner, and this is Arizona in Focus from Cronkite News. It has been a big year for Mars research, especially when it comes to learning more about the water on the red planet and the launch of the Perseverance rover in July. To get a better idea of what scientists are learning about Mars, we turn to Jennifer Hanley. She's an astronomer at Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff and specializes in liquid stability across the solar system. You might be wondering what that is. We did too. So we asked her.
I'm interested in how liquids can exist on different solar system bodies, on the surfaces of these bodies. So, for instance, that would include water on Mars and water on Europa, and what kind of stability and habitability exists for that water.
We'll hear more about her work in a minute, but first, you should know Hanley has been interested in space since she was little, when she dreamed of being an astronaut.
I kept thinking about that as I went through school, into high school, and was able to do a little bit of research when I was in high school, and decided that I still really liked space and planetary science. And I thought that maybe one of the ways that I could do that, even if becoming an astronaut was a long shot, that I could at least study these things. And so I, you know, chose to go to school for planetary science and was fortunate enough to be able to continue doing that.
You said it was kind of a long shot to become an astronaut, but why did you kind of go down the route of planetary sciences and not down the route of becoming an astronaut?
Well, I haven't given up on becoming an astronaut. I actually applied for the last round, but, you know, so we'll see.
Well, crossing my fingers for you, that'd be so amazing.
Thanks. You know, I figured they would need mission specialists. And so if I was studying Mars, then maybe they would need me to go there.
You study something quite specific. Your research is on liquid stability across the solar system. Can you kind of touch on what that is?
Well, I guess the first question is, can we have liquid water on those planets to start? And that's partially where my research lies, is looking for salts, which help tell us something about the stability of water in specific conditions. So salt lowers the freezing point of water. That's why we salt roads in the winter. Different salts can lower the freezing point by different amounts. And so if we can find those salts on Mars, for instance, we know that we can have liquid water at those temperatures. The next step to that is, how much water could there actually be? And then, is that water even habitable to life as we know it?
Speaking of life, I think a lot of us don't really think about that aspect even being present or existing. So the fact that it could be there, it may be kind of like a smaller scale of life. We just don't exactly know. So I think what you're doing and the liquid stability and that information that you're providing us with is so cool. And kind of along with that, you kind of touched on why it matters, but why does that matter to the planets and Mars specifically?
You know, this big question of, are we alone in the universe? Did life originate here on Earth? Did it originate elsewhere and come here? Did it originate here and then go somewhere else? Does life pop up in each planet? And, you know, what are the conditions for life to arise? And I guess some of the work that I'm doing is more, if life is already there, could it tolerate the water that is present? So I'm finding salts, and if there's liquids that come with those salts, they would be very salty. You need a lot of dissolved salt to get it to a temperature where it'd be liquid today. And so life doesn't really like really salty things. that's why there's jerky, you know, in the food industry, you salt and brine things to get rid of the microorganisms. And so it's an interesting challenge to think about, as far as life as we know, what kind of salts and cold temperatures and other things like that, that the life could possibly tolerate.
When you look at Mars and Europa too, you can kind of go back and forth between the two if you prefer, but what is the stability of water there?
So overall on Mars, water is predominantly in the ice phase. So we know that we have ice in the polar caps. There is subsurface ice, you know, ground ice. And for the most part, if there's liquid water, it's transient on Mars today. It's possible that we could get some amount of liquid droplets, you know, at the right season, you know, maybe in the spring when things are warming up, the salt could melt the ice, or there is a little bit of water vapor in the atmosphere, but not much. That's possible that the salts could deliquesce, as the term, and it basically means absorbing water vapor from the atmosphere and turning into a liquid. Again, that doesn't make a lot of water. And so as far as liquid water today on Mars, it's very limited to, you know, specific conditions and not a lot of it. For Europa, there's a lot of water there. It's Europa's whole crust is basically an ice shell. And so it's water ice. And there's a subsurface liquid water ocean beneath that water ice crust. So there's a lot of water on Europa.
Have you seen images or pictures of that crust that you're kind of describing to us?
Yeah, so we have pictures from the Galileo spacecraft. It's it's a really cool looking moon. And NASA is planning to launch another mission to Europa called the Europa Clipper. In a few years, and that will take even better pictures of it. So that's really exciting.
What new discoveries about Mars do you think will be on the horizon?
So I'm really excited to see what Perseverance finds when it lands in Jezero Crater. I think that's going to be, that's the next big thing, right? So
And that's touching down in 2021, correct?
Yeah, in February 2021. And so this is another really great place to look for biosignatures, or possibly even preserved biosignatures. So if life existed in the past, it's possible that not fossils, but just, you know, evidence of that life might have been preserved in the rocks that are there. And, you know, so evidence of like liquid water flows and things like that. And so, or maybe oxidized rocks that might not have occurred otherwise. And so I think that'll be really interesting. And I'm always excited when a new rover or lander arrives at Mars, because primarily I work with the orbiters. And, you know, we're looking at the minerals from orbit. And so if we have something on the surface, we can get what we call ground truth. And so we can see, okay, what do the orbiters see? And what does the lander see? And we can really help fine tune the techniques used to analyze the orbiter data by knowing what's actually on the surface. And so it also has a lot of new instruments, which I'm really excited to see the results from those. And it's going to cache samples for eventual sample return from Mars.
There's a push to send humans to Mars in the future. What's it going to take to get people to the red planet?
We're working towards it. And, you know, I think that the plans to do so are moving along. I think it would take sustained funding from Congress. And that's the really tough part of it. It has to be sustained. You can't do fits and starts, right? Because otherwise technology lags behind, or you might lose the expertise. So I would really love to see that continued funding and support for those plans.
That'd be great to see. And I would love to see that on my TV screen, that people are going to Mars, and I'm hoping that's going to happen soon here. So
I think it's kind of a travesty that nobody has stepped foot on the moon in my lifetime. I mean, that's
seriously,
you know, like that happened a long time ago. I think
Well, maybe one of us can, or no, you. You're going to be an astronaut soon, so I can't wait to see you on my TV screen.
Fingers crossed.
If you could go to Mars, what would you want to explore personally?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Another question.
Yeah. So I think going to one of the locations where we think that there was liquid water in the past, or possibly liquid water today, would be really interesting. But I think just in general, the idea of leaving Earth and going to another planet, I mean, I can't even imagine the horizon would look different because the planet is smaller, you know, the sky would look different. I think it would just be amazing to just step foot there wherever on the planet it was.
That was Jennifer Hanley from Lowell Observatory. You can learn more about water on Mars at cronkitenews.azpbs.org. That's also where you can listen to all of our podcasts. If you like this episode, make sure to tell your friends about us and to subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts from. This is Arizona in Focus from Cronkite News. I'm Alexa Zellner.